Guardians of the Geekery episode 267. It is the triumphant return of John Dondero. He's going to be at the Muggles Market on November 2nd. He is running the Doctor Who Lucky 13, the Infinity Library VR experience. I think this is his third or fourth year doing this at the Muggles Market. Totally immersive, totally cool. Listen to John talk all about it. Also, if you want to learn filmmaking, he is running something really special at the Gaston Library for the foreseeable future on Tuesday nights. Listen to the podcast, learn all about it. Talk to you guys soon. Let us know what you think.
In the podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ, there are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnslord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hey, we've got John Dondero here.
I'm John Dondero.
Yay. Yay. Live in studio.
It's been a minute, my friend. I think you were episode 9. If you can believe that.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, 2015. Wow. I just looked it up. Yeah.
I really thought you'd been on since then.
We did too. Maybe it was at a convention.
No.
Was it 2015?
Episode 9?
Yeah, because. Oh, wow.
But then again,
if it was episode 9, because this is episode 267.
What? I like to disappear, make you think that I'm gone, and then.
We need to compare journals to see which part of the timeline we're
each on. I'm pretty sure you had one less kid the last time you were on this podcast.
Probably. I have like 6 now. No, just 2.
You're not the only one. Garrett also had a child.
Yeah, my Gare Bear, he was supposed to be here tonight, and we're not speaking right now because he had the audacity to pop out a kid this week.
Well, not him personally, his wife did.
I thought for a long while it was going to come out of him because, you know, I'm just kidding.
It was sympathy pain.
I've been having twins for a long time.
Yeah.
I was like, I had my kidney out. What's your excuse now?
Ooh, just put a hot pocket in here.
Yeah, I'm slowly removing all my organs on the left side.
I like it.
I'm trying to get them to put a hot pocket station in my stomach.
Wait a minute. So if they're doing all on the left side,
can we not do this again?
Are you like? Is it a balance adjustment? Can you actually feel the
change?
That's
what I asked her too, yeah.
Right?
That's a legitimate question.
My mom asked me that too.
Right.
Honestly, I feel like the scar tissue, because I tend to keloid when I scar, is kind of filling the void. But we'll figure it out soon.
It's packing peanuts.
It really is. It's Geek Gala donations. I just make more room for it. It makes it easier to carry.
Nice. I like that. So,
yeah. No.
Well, that's going to sell raffle tickets.
Buy a kidney. That's what you do.
I sold a kidney to pay for the gala. Buy your tickets now.
I donated a kidney. It's in one of the gift baskets. But we're not going to tell you which one.
Oh. Is it on ice at least?
No. It's wrapped in newspaper.
Oh, it'll be fine.
It'll be stuffed in there. We're going to do it the day of, so it's fresh. So.
Could be horror. Could be cooking. Who knows?
I can advise you on that. Right. Let me just tell you, the surgery is 6 hours on your side.
Ouch.
So, John, why are you here? I mean, other than
Carol, please stop talking about this.
Wager gone sour.
That has been the question of my life. Why are you here? I am going to be at the wonderful Muggles Market and Geek Gala November 2nd.
Yes.
I remember the date, and I'm very proud. I did not write it on my arm.
I am so proud of you.
And I have like 6 dates written on my arm.
It's not because the postcard's over to your left, is it?
No, it's because we just did a live stream.
Yes.
You said it a lot, and I was like, gotta remember it, because I'm going to be like, it's November 25th. No, that's my birthday. November 2nd. And we're going to be doing... virtual reality. Yeah. How did I blank on that?
I know. If you could see his face. Because you were overwhelmed by all the cool stuff we revealed. You were the second unboxing.
The second.
We're going to have to strip search on the way out to make sure you're not taking some of those.
I'm already not.
You're not taking that BB-8 home to terrorize your daughter.
She's absolutely terrified of BB-8. I don't understand it. She loves like geeky stuff and whatnot.
Yeah.
But my son has this little remote control BB-8. And, of course, it has the magnet head, and it swivels and runs. And she will run up that thing, yank its head off, and be like, no, no, no.
How old is she now?
She's 2 now. But even when she was a baby, she would just she'd shake. And if it came near her, she'd smack it the head clean off of it. She loves balls.
Maybe she knows something we don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that last film. BB-8's going to turn.
Listen, either that or my daughter.
You heard it here first.
My daughter may actually be a Sith. So.
Oh, okay. That's probably more likely.
Yeah, she is the spawn of Don Darrow.
Yeah,
so.
that's definitely more likely.
So do we think Siths are Slytherin?
Well, yeah.
Sith are Slytherin.
The Jedi are Gryffindors because they're stupid and they just run at things with sabers.
Jedis are Hufflepuffs.
What are you trying to say, Carol?
No, Jedis aren't Hufflepuffs. Hufflepuffs are smart. Wookiees are Hufflepuffs.
Wookiees, yeah, okay.
I would give Wookiee a Hufflepuff. I could get behind that.
It's like we're happy in our little tree houses, but man, come to our planet, we'll beat the crap out of you.
So is Yoda really like a Gryffindor, or is he more a Ravenclaw?
Nah, he's a Ravenclaw.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think he's a Ravenclaw. I think, you know what, it was one of those things where the sorting hat was kind of on the fence. Yeah. He probably started out a Gryffindor. And just as natural progression, because if you watch the prequels, and then you watch like The Last Jedi, he's gone complete baddie. That's not the word I wanted to use, but
yeah.
I'm trying to keep his family friendly.
Well, I mean, if you watch The Last Jedi, he's dead. So
I know he's dead, but
spoiler alert:
he didn't get any
spoiler alert for Return of the Jedi.
Really
Force did. Ghost Yoda was not a sane, wise person. He was just,
whatever, I'm dead. Just blow up a tree.
That dude is like 7 levels of don't give a. You know, just like,
what you gonna do? Beat the ghost?
Yeah.
He's like down a Boca. He's like, I'm retired, fucker. Sucker.
I'm a dead man. Suck on that.
But going back to Doctor Who, your virtual reality. Yeah. So you actually brought the first virtual reality 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was where you had a ability to walk on the inside of the TARDIS.
Yeah, you were your own person, and you kind of got, I can tell the plot now. It's over like 3 years old.
Yeah.
Spoilers. It's a Hitchhiker's Failsafe, which is, a throwback to one of my favorite all-time books, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where the TARDIS accidentally picks you up instead of us, because I was trying to use a smartphone to create an app to have auto pickup, which is actually referenced in the newest episodes coming out next year. But this new one is, you are the doctor. You are me. Everything is through my eyes, and I don't stand still. So it was actually a really big challenge of, do we put a camera on my head or do we animate it? Huh. And then it turns out my head wobbles a lot. Because I have a ginormous head, and it makes people nauseous to be me for a while. So we had to like scale back a lot of things. But you are actually running and jumping and doing all kinds of things, kind of just like buckled up as the doctor as we go on an adventure to a infinite library. And
so for somebody who hasn't done this before, you literally bring those 3D or virtual reality glasses where you actually put phone in front of your eyes, and you're encased in this environment, and it's
a whole headset.
It's a whole headset, and it's awesome. I've done it twice. That's about all the time that I'm allowed. I think once was at Con Carolina's, and once was somewhere else. It was never at my event because the line is like ginormously long. But you're bringing extra headsets this year.
Yeah. Well, we always bring two. And, we're working on getting a third one up. It's really hard, to find all the pieces to work together to, make them fully functioning and repeatable. Because a lot of times, a virtual reality headset, you'll watch it for 5 minutes, but we'll be going for the entire Muggle Market, and we'll... Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I can hear my snapping.
ASMR.
Yeah. We'll be going back to back to back, so it's really hard to get, like, you know, reliable headsets that won't break down on us. We've got two that will just, they're tough, and they'll go. But you have headphones on, you're completely immersed in this world. You can't see anything. You were transported through time and space, and this one is pretty intense. We warn people beforehand if you're prone to motion sickness, if you're allergic to shellfish. If you've ever spontaneously combusted before, even just a little bit.
Oh, darn it.
You should try it. It's one of those things where we have fire extinguishers on board. But it's 6 minutes. And so that's what the line will build, because when you're in there, it feels like you're in there for a minute.
Yeah.
It goes by so fast. But when you're on the other side of that and you're waiting in line, you're like, that dude's been in there for an hour and a half. And that's, and
it,
what it
is one of our most popular attractions of things to do besides shop or listen to music or eat food. You definitely want to
love all those things.
I know. There's usually watch the film festival. Yeah.
There's usually a line right at the beginning of Muggles Market when I start doing the virtual tour around, mm-hmm. and I'll come over and go around the room, and there's John with the line already, and I'm like, it's like 10-10, dude.
Yeah. You
already
have a setting it up. And of course, you know, it's always free. The one thing we do with VR, because as a filmmaker, my job is not to make money as a filmmaker. My job is to make enjoyment. So I have a day job. This is all about, this is cool. You know, I want people to have that same giddy feeling I get, like, you know, when we were making it, like the first time I put those goggles on, I was just like, I'm going to do something wild with this. I want everyone to be able to experience that. So, you know, we bring it out there, and yeah, we'll get a line fast, and I will stay for everyone. You guys have witnessed, like literally,
come on, John, guys. You're in the way of the tiki bar. Could you move, please? Yeah. He's like, I just have 10 more people.
We're like, John, it's midnight. Geek Al is over. You need to vacate the premises.
They're going
to
start charging us an hourly rate to stay.
Yeah. In which case,
you just come out to the parking lot.
I have done them in the parking lot.
It's not a lie. It's not even like an exaggeration at all.
Hey, kid, you want to try some VR?
Yeah.
Everybody's doing it.
Oh, I got a story to tell you about something creepy at convention.
First one's free.
Yeah. That's how we get you. Get to VR. But no, it's a lot of fun, and we'll continue doing it. And this one's actually in parts. So there's even more coming. And I think in 6 months we'll have part two ready to go and start touring, which we'll continue to show part one, part two, part three, because we try to keep it 6 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
Because, again, you have to wait in line. I don't want to wait in line for an hour and there's seven people in front of me. So we try to keep them little bits. And then when the next episode comes out, we're going to release it to the public so you can watch it at home.
Oh, nice. Cool.
But we'll do a little fun tour with it, because I will say this. Watching VR at home is cool. But watching it when you have the guy who's doing the voice in your head, because you are that person – and as soon as the goggles come off, I'm just like,
there he is.
How was it being me? Welcome to my world.
And they're like, dude, stop moving your head so much.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's a lot of fun.
And it took you a long time. I mean, it wasn't just a minute to create this. This is a very immersive, long process. So
We built sets. And I don't mean like actual sets, but they're digital sets like CG Worlds, because we want to be able to move and go about. And so it was taking time of adding bookshelves. Making an infinite library is very tricky, because everything is infinitely large. And creating a device like the TARDIS, where at one point in time you're in the TARDIS, and there's a scene where you walk clean out of the TARDIS, and you do that, you can do that look back and realize it's bigger on the inside, and that
don't look back from the mic though. I know. You're gonna do that. Take the mic with you.
There's this really scene, and then there's a scene where you're falling into the TARDIS, and you can see all the sides of the TARDIS, and suddenly you're inside it, and that was kind of.
And you can look up, and you can look down.
Yeah,
which I did.
Just don't look up when you're standing in the library, because those shelves. We've had so many people to look straight up, and you realize how long infinite is, and then you start tilt backwards.
Oh no.
But yeah, and just getting.
So do I need to provide mattresses?
Oh no, we're always as soon as we see the head start to tilt up, we're like, well, he's looking up, get behind him.
Okay,
but get that
trust falls.
Just the immersive feeling of, because the first VR you were just already in the TARDIS, there was no, like, you know, transition between. And that's one thing you don't get when you see a TARDIS, like a built TARDIS or a set. You always, in your head, picture those as two separate things. And it's very hard to suspend
disbelief.
That's the word. I'm good at words, I promise.
I'm not.
I'm here to help.
English is my second language. I don't know what the first is, but.
Someday I'll find it.
Yeah.
The rainbow connections.
Being able to see, actually, like, experience that transition between I am here and I'm walking forward, and now I can look around. I'm sorry, I turned my head again. I can look around the corner, and it's not. Completely encapsulated. It brought tears to my eyes the first time I saw it, and just like editing it, because it just, you can't imagine it until you see it, and it's like you have that suspended disbelief broken. Right. Yeah, you're just like,
wow,
it's bigger on the inside. I know what that means now. I know what that entails of experiencing for the first time. Don't cry at the VR though, because we're gonna make fun of you.
No, but it is very awesome, and it is. Even if you're standing in line, there's amusement to be had because you're watching the person experience. And some people, it's their first time ever with the concept of VR. And maybe they don't know Doctor Who. They just want to try it out. And they're like, oh my God, what's that? What's that? What's happening? Oh my, where am I? I can't see.
You don't have to understand Doctor Who to enjoy it. I will say that. We always try to make, you know, the inside jokes that Whovians will get. But also just kind of the, this is weird and cool and funny and I like it.
Well, and I think that's what makes the Muggles Market such a good venue for that, because for some people, it is their first toe in the water of fandom. And so, you know, they're just used to sports ball. And then all of a sudden their kid drags them to this thing and they put this headset on and they're like, what am I doing?
It's so much fun to watch.
Where's my life been all this time? So. Yeah, so we are so excited to have you back. But that's not all you're working on. You've got a film school, dude.
Oh, yeah. We actually, so when this comes out, it's already started, but it's free enrollment at all times. You can just show up to a class. We're starting the Free Film Academy at the Gaston Public Library. It's every Tuesday at 6 p.m. starting August 6th. From then on, we're going to be teaching everything from basic filmmaking to animation to creating your own VR to digital broadcasts, like for people who want to stream and create, like, you know, YouTube channels and all that. We're going to teach you how to set up the broadcast servers, all to do it for free.
Wow.
Because, like I said, I stream. I don't spend a dime on streaming. And, you know, we're going to teach people how to do that. Teens, adults, we're kind of saying don't bring children. Like, we children.
Oh, sure, sure.
And it's just because it's not like one of those... Well, we're going to do cutesy things. We want to sit down and actually teach you actual filmmaking. Yeah. And we're going to have lots of guest speakers come in, like professionals in their field. Of course, I'll be teaching like the main course, but we're going to have like actual camera people come in and bring their cameras and walk you through every step. And not just like, well, you should go out and buy this $3,000 camera. No, don't.
No.
Let's show you, this is how you get this effect. You know what you're doing, so when you do spend that money, you're making the right choice. Or you don't have to spend your money. We'll teach you how to film. You know, our first VR was filmed on a cell phone.
Right.
Yeah.
And people, when I tell people that, they're like, that's the reaction they had.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Like,
no,
they have, like, feature films that are now filmed on iPhones.
And it's all knowledge. It's people will go in and be like, well, I'm going to be a filmmaker. How hard can it be? And I'm like, well, there's a lot of stuff you got to know. There's a lot of little things that people don't realize. And that's one thing. I don't think you should spend an arm and a leg to learn basic knowledge like that. So
I think if you learn with basic equipment, then when you get the extra stuff, it frees you up from the stuff that you were having to do manually to go that next level. Where if you start off with it at a higher level of equipment, then you don't know how to punt when things go wrong.
Yeah.
100%.
That's good.
Thank you.
That's a good sports ball analogy, and I like it.
I know. I don't like sports ball, but I know sports ball.
I like it.
So where can people find information on this Film Academy?
You can either, there's two ways. You can find me on Facebook, or you can go to the Gaston Public Library's website, which there'll be selection for it. Or just stop by the library, because any branch will have sign-ups for it, but we're hosting it at the main. I always say find me on Facebook, because that way I can personally talk to you and answer any questions, because a lot of times when you go to like a website and they're like, oh, yeah, basic information.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to like detail answer every question and be like, oh, no, 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 this class will teach this. And
yeah.
We have an entire curriculum set up for the next year. So
wow, okay.
What we're doing is the only breaks we're taking is the month of December and the month of June and July, because we're going to do summer projects. So I think May class, we're going to be like, all right, we've had a whole year to learn all this. Here's your homework for the next 2 months, and let's go make a movie together, and we're going to make a film and work on it together. So there won't be like classes. We'll be like, let's go on set. It's summer break. And actually go out and make films, because there's a lot of things that bug me about modern filmmaking is the mentality of I'm going to brand myself and create my work. And I'm like, that's great. Do that. But you need to be flexible to everything around you. The greatest work I've ever done was collaboration. Like any project I've ever worked, you know, that's just me. It's okay. All right. Not bad. But when you work together with other like-minded individuals and you create these cool things, it's so much cooler, because you're like, well, that was me right there. Well, that was him. But that was my idea. You know, you have these pushbacks, and it's a lot of fun. So if you want to go onto the Gaston Public Library website or find us on Facebook, find me, John Don Darrow.
There'll be a link in the show notes.
Yeah. Link to my Instagram, too, because I post cool things on my Instagram.
I mean, you'll have to provide that there to her.
I will. I will.
I actually follow you on Instagram. So
I don't use the Twitter anymore. Twitter is it's out. It's for presidents and politicians.
Yeah,
I am neither.
So. I'm still on Twitter and I'm happy. So you can come find me. I don't follow either of those types of people.
That's but yeah, why check I'm the happy. Show notes and we'll have links to everything. So
cool.
Yeah.
I will check the notes, because I actually don't know how to find my Instagram. So it'd be great to actually be able to see it for once.
I love it.
But then on September 14th.
Oh, yeah. Which is self-promotion hour. I like it. Cool. So
this is the John Dondero episode.
Hello there. Hello there in radio world. Let me tell you about a little event we have going on called Partial Nudity. We're doing the Gotham Gala, not to be confused with the Geek Gala, which is an actual gala. Gotham Gala.
In your pajamas gala. Yeah.
Still much more of a gala than we're having. We're having an actual murder mystery.
Oh.
Arkham. It's called the Arkham Murder. Actually, it's called the Gotham Geek. The Gotham Gala. But it's subtitled the Arkham Murder Mystery, where we're going to have. It's a dress up costume party. So we're going to have. You come there, we're going to have a costume contest. Everyone can come dressed as your favorite Batman character, but while you're there, you're gonna
from the man in. Who doesn't want to touch any DC stuff in the unboxing
video. I even said I love Batman. It's Superman that I have the problem with.
And
Superman.
None of that stuff was Superman, so whatever. Go ahead. Moving on. You're promoting. Don't let me interrupt.
This feels like gotcha media right at its best. Okay. You prompted me to talk about this, and then you gotcha'd me.
No.
All right.
It was the slow dawning of my mind going, wait, he's all excited about this Arkham murder mystery. And
because he gets to kill DC people.
Mm-hmm.
If Carol connects the dots.
Yeah. She's the bridge. She's the bridge.
She's the bridge.
She's the Gotham bridge that they'll blow up.
Arkham water going on.
You're gonna be there.
So it's a dress-up gala, but not like our gala.
No, not at all. It's like, you know, costume party. There's gonna be dancing and crazy stuff. We're gonna have themed drinks, all the whole sorts. You know what you would expect from a partial event. Except when you get there, you're gonna be handed a clue. And your very first clue is going to lead you to a villain. And we're going to have paid actors there who are dressed as said villains. We're not going to tell you which one's the real villain. So what's going to happen is you're going to have to go to find Harley Quinn. There's going to be 16 people dressed as Harley Quinn. You've got to find the actual Harley Quinn.
We're not going to 16.
Yeah, if we're lucky.
16 Harleys.
But you got to find the actual person playing that to get the next clue. And you're going to find the clues. And instead of figuring out who the murderer was, we're playing it very much differently.
Okay.
You're going to figure out who we're going to off.
Nice.
We haven't killed them yet. That person is there. And at the end of the night, something special is going to happen. There's either going to be a murder or a save. It all depends on who wins that game.
Carol, don't go. We know what happens to Carol at murder mysteries.
Yeah, I get killed all the time.
We sent her to the graveyard one time so much.
Just like she six times.
I stabbed her like all night long at this one. Well, one murder mystery.
I feel like if she was there, if you come to my event, everyone's going to be like, oh, it's Carol. I've seen this show before. But it's going to be a lot of fun and we're going to theme. We had a commercial come out. And in that commercial is a riddle because, like, there's going to be riddles everywhere. I'm not saying the Riddler is going to be there, but the Riddler is going to be there without giving any spoilers. But we're putting clues in all our promotion. So anytime when you look up Partial Nudity Gotham Gala, any commercial or promotion you see, there will be little hints and clues.
Oh, great.
I love interactive stuff. Like, that's why I like VR. And this is going to be one of those things where you feel like you're part of it. You're 100% there. And trust me when I say you're part of it, one of those people who's playing that game is going to be a part of it in the best way.
Cool.
They're going to die.
Or they're going to be the murderer.
Or they're going to be the murderer.
Or they're going to kill.
Yeah. Or they're just going to have a lovely good time and just go home. But we're going to have prizes and a costume contest.
Okay.
All kinds of hijinks. And
we'll
it's a
donate a prize.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. We have, I think we have like tickets from the new Joker movie, which is why we're doing it. Because we try to theme them around movies. Like every partial nerd that we do is kind of be like, well, this is coming up. And and we would love to have the Geek Gala there. Yeah. You know, participating in our hijinks because fellow geeks are always fun. It's real fun to see someone come into the event and they have no idea. It's like one of those things where they were just coming out to the club.
Yeah.
And now there's a geek event there.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, that's Batman.
It's kind of like game night at Mugs. People get very confused because they're like, there's like 60 of them in here. What happened? So, yeah. Yeah. So, and this is, John, how long have we known each other? I think it's been like 10 years.
It has to be close to 10 years because my son is 9.
Yeah. And I started. And it was right before, like when I met Jess, she was about to pop the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Not the second.
At a very lovely convention. It was actually my first convention, and it was probably one of the best experiences I had. It made me just love every second of it. And it was so tiny, but it was one of those things where I've learned something that no matter how the size of the convention, the size does not matter. It's just the experience.
It's the people and the experience. Yep. Mm-hmm. We met at RonCon. And at first we were bored.
Yeah. It's an anime convention. I don't even watch anime.
Yeah. Then he randomly came up and people started handing me clues that John had written to a game that didn't actually exist. And I was like, John, stop screwing with people. And he's like, why? And I'm like, good point. Go on. Carry on. And then the second time I saw you, you were doing a conga line to one of your movie release panels. And I was like instantly... that because we were out in the hallway of the event because they didn't have enough space, and instantly the vibe changed, and it was just like so refreshing to hang around. And then same thing at MonsterCon, don't you feel like, Carol?
Yeah.
Like we were kind of off in the corner. Yes, we got the rollerblade girls to carry around our zombie babies.
that was cool.
You know, nothing like having people go, oh, let me see your, what the heck is sticking out of that baby's head? Oh, a fork. But all of a sudden, Dondero, taped with flyers of the gala taped to him for a price, starts doing a conga line. Yeah, yeah. He sold. I mean, you were trying to support your film.
Yeah.
So I think I paid you $25 or $50 to walk around with that stuff on.
The best part is the conga lines. We don't tell them they're going to our film premiere. We just lock the doors after. Our
At
RonCon, they had no idea we were going to a film premiere. I was just like, conga line, and they follow the. People will follow a conga line.
I have stolen
anywhere.
That a couple times. I have to tell you. Well, one of my panels, it was like an 8 o'clock panel, and our room party started at 9. Oh. So we conga lined. So it's like Carol and Wanda had started the party, and then I arrived with 20 people going, beer and pizza, beer and pizza.
People will join into a conga line, and they won't even know where
it doesn't
it's
matter.
Yeah.
If I were ever become a supervillain, that would be what I did. Yeah. I would conga line people to their doom. Because people would just be
seriously.
Like, there's a conga line. I'm going to join it. That's got to be going somewhere.
This makes so much more sense. So when I was when I went back to school in my 20s, I was in a class where we had to it was actually an African-American history class. So we were talking about different experiences and stuff like that. And this one, bless her heart, girl,
you know, 18, like,
oh, below. I know the bless you heart girls.
Yeah. She starts talking about how, like, this one time, like, I was sitting in class, like, and, like, the bell started ringing, but it wasn't the end of, like, the class hour. And then, like, the people came in and said we were all, like, protesting and going to the chancellor's office. So I grabbed my bag, and, like, then the hallways were just filled with people. And we went and sat in the chancellor building, and, like, there was music and there were songs. And it was just such a lovely experience.
I want her to write a book.
And I said to her, cool. So what were you guys protesting? I don't know. And I'm like, so you walked out of a class that you paid for to go to a protest that you don't even know what you were protesting, and you disrupted a school for a day and a half that you paid tuition for. And if you didn't pay it, your parents paid it, but you don't know why. I'm not saying that protesting is wrong. I'm just saying, no, why? You're ruining this experience for me. And now I know John Dondero was leading a conga line to the chancellor's office.
I'm gonna be honest, I've joined protest for that exact reason. I have no idea what's going on, but it looked like a good time.
My thing is I will join any protest. Just tell me why, so I know what to fight for, right?
Yeah.
So
I need to know why I need to be outraged, but I don't need to know immediately.
Just tell me later.
Yeah.
Years later.
Yeah.
You did a good thing, Dondero.
Did I see you at that protest for, you know, apartheid? What? No. No.
This is clearly you leading the conga line.
No. What have I done?
Exhibit A.
But I think I did that in Charleston when we were at a convention.
Yep.
I was walking by and there was a protest and they were doing sitting, and I just walk over. What are we sitting? Well, it's equal rights. Okay, cool. I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah. No, they're definitely, like, at Dragon Con, you know, there's just people that stand in the corner of protest, and there's definitely late night conga lines that form around these people.
Oh, absolutely. I have, I do many late night events, and I have stood with the the wonderful religious protesters, which they have their very right and very beliefs to believe to be there and protest. I have joined them on multiple occasions just because I like seeing it from that side, you know. Try to put yourself in their shoes, then you'll understand why they're so angry. And if you can't understand why they're so angry, they're insane. So that, still, I love a good protest. And if I'm there and it's my event, I should protest that. Because nothing draws a crowd like a protest. You can hand out flyers. You can do viral marketing. If you truly want people to come to your event, get protesters.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, why are they protesting that? Well, let's buy a ticket and go find out.
Yeah.
I call that the, what is it, Kevin Smith mentality.
Yep.
He helped protest dogma.
Yep.
That's awesome.
I've done that. Well, didn't Buterin do that a couple times with clowns protesting him at events?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he did it or somebody did it on his behalf.
Somebody did it on his
brilliant.
Behalf.
Pretty brilliant. Yeah. I randomly started sending him Bozo the Clowns.
Ooh, I like Buterin. He's my favorite.
Yeah.
But every time I see him, I have to say Buterin.
Yeah. I just like the fact that I can say it. It's kind of like quesadilla.
No, for the first year, you know, I had just seen his name written. And I'm one of those people, like, I will say things very literal. And I was like, Buterin. And then, like, one day someone's like, you know, it's Buterin, right? And I was like, I think I've said that to him and he hasn't corrected me. Oh, God. Like, you know, that look of like, I've been saying your name wrong and you haven't said anything because you're too polite.
Yeah.
Because he's such a nice guy. He's a super nice guy.
Super nice guy.
Won't correct you if you're not saying it publicly. Like, if you're just talking to him, he won't correct you.
Wow.
He's so nice. And just like one day I was like, it's Buterin. And I'm like, oh, God. I think I've been calling him Buterin for like 2 years. Oh, no.
Well, I used to think my name was bad because, well, not bad, but hard to pronounce because, you know, it's Sherry Joe with the C-H and the J, and the J is in the middle, kind of like the word Navajo has the J in there. So it just really confuses people, like Chariho and then Paquette with the Q-U, that gets difficult. So it's Paqua.
Paqua.
And then, so I was like, oh, well, now I'm marrying a guy with the last name of Starnes. That will be fine.
Nope. Now I'm Hispanic. I'm Sherry Jo Starnes. And I'm like, no, it's Starnes. And then one time this woman literally called me back 5 minutes later. And she goes, yes, Mrs. Starnes. I'm like, still Starnes. Still Starnes. There you go. That's why I go by Joey.
I'm Juan Dondero. No, I mean, what is it? Dondero. Juan Dondero.
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 I get that all the time. I'm like, no, Irish white dude.
Yeah. But, so see this Irish white dude? Sorry.
That made me pee a little bit.
Ears bleeding.
Yeah.
Help.
We're awake now.
I may have wet myself just throwing that out there.
I think you wet yourself over here. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wet everyone's pants. You have a rug on the floor. That's bad. So... check John's out at the Gaston County Library Free Film School.
Free Film School.
Free Film Fest.
Free Film Academy.
Free Film Academy. FFA. Hey, are you submitting a film to the Geek Short Film Fest?
I'm actually working on a project right now. I think the VR should be in the Film Fest because technically it is a film.
Can you show it though?
Yeah, you can stand in line and you can watch it. You'll have to watch it one at a time.
Be hard for the judges. So we have the geeks. So your students could go to the Free Film Academy, learn how to make a film, 10 minutes or 30 minutes or less, submit it to the Geek Short Film Fest. We'll give you a special code, GEEK19, $5 off.
GEEK19.
Yeah. And then... go check out and find out whether you're going to be alive or dead for the gala, because you're going to go to the Gotham Gala, so you can come to the Geek Gala, and that's on September 14th. And then, of course, check out the Infinite Library at Muggles Market on November 2nd.
2019, the year of galas.
Yes. Yeah. So check that all out. John, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I was hoping this podcast would just go on like as long as possible. I was going to ask you guys, like, how long does this podcast usually last? Well,
Carol's been looking at her watch.
She could tell you. Sorry. Like, watching them like, no, I want to have the record of longest podcast.
Even no, if that's like
Mr. Shrewsbury.
And you weren't here for that. So you can say thank you.
What is the record?
It's like an hour and 45 minutes.
Oh, I'm going to beat that.
No, we're doing 20 minutes.
No, but I'm going to come back eventually. You're going to have me and we're going to beat the record.
Okay.
And we're going to talk like this and have some ASMR. And I'll be like, shh,
shh, shh, shh, shh. We'll do a special Patreon version. Yeah.
Okay. That's the ASMR.
Okay, so that was your ASMR moment.
All right. Well, John, thank you.
Thank you guys so much for having me. Keep us posted
about anything else cool we need to share with the group.
Oh, absolutely. I'm coming back. This is the time of comeback. This fall is the comeback of Dondero. Back into the con world and the Geek Gala and all the fun things. I'm coming back, and it's gonna be hell on wheels, and it's gonna be so much fun.
Cool.
I'm sorry, everyone.
That's awesome.
I have no words. I'm afraid I'm gonna make you pee more.
It's gonna be absolutely. You all need to be speechless. Anyone hearing this, this is your warning. I'm back.
Run.
Warning.
Welcome back.
All right. Well, thanks, John.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.